Blog Talk Radio.
Your host and friend, the Sand Tiger, DJ Southeast Vince, coming at you from a place called Durham, North Carolina. And this is Black by Color only on CNM Radio. On this show, I will discuss current events and issues that affect the black race and take on the apostles of blackness. Hopefully, you'll get something from this show, and if you have a question or a comment, make sure you season it well with respect, or I'll push the kick button, and you will suffer the curse of the fruit bat. So don't come here being a fruit bat, as this is a fruit bat-free program. You are listening to Black by Color only. Hey folks, how are you doing out there? Hope today finds you doing well. If you would like to be a guest on the show and call in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And you can call in and talk about anything related to the subject matter, but I will give you a word of warning. Please be mindful of the aforementioned fruit bat alert. If you come into this show and you want to involve yourself in excessive profanity, ad hominem attacks, character assassinations, gaslighting, things of that sort, coming in and, you know, just trying to disrupt the show, trying to be a jerk about it, it will prompt me to push the kick button and you will go bye-bye. Okay. I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. Okay. You know, we can be adults on here. We can have a adult conversation without all the kindergarten sand slinging events that some people like to involve themselves in, you know, just be respectful. Carry yourself like an adult, and you should be fine coming on this show. Once again, want to direct everyone to my email. If you would like to if you want to send me a message through my email, that email is truesharkstv@gmail.com. And if you want to check out my blog, blackbycoloronly.com. That's truesharkstv@gmail.com. That's my email. And my blog. And as a reminder, just let everyone know, the first of the month, I will not be having a program. You know, that gives me, frees me up some time to spend with my wife and whatever, but next Saturday, I will not be having a show, as that is the 1st of July, and a couple of days after that, that's my wife's birthday, so, you know, I'm going to take that time off and celebrate her birthday. And I want to ask you all on this program, do you realize what today is? Anybody realize what today is? today marks the anniversary of a of an event occurred 1 year ago today. The Supreme Court decided to dissolve Roe v. Wade, turning the issue of abortion or baby murder to the states to decide what to do. And one thing that amazes me about this date is a lot of people who do not try to commemorate this date. I mean, it's very significant. I'm really upset with the people who call themselves Christians. Really upset with them. I did a YouTube video last year, and I was at church, and I was looking around. Well, after church, you know, I did a video, and I was searching on, you know, social media, anybody who would talk about the dissolving of Roe v. Wade. And I was very disappointed, especially in the church folks. Nobody even mentioned it. They just went on their way, you know, did their church services, and they were, and even the church I was going to, they didn't even mention it. I mean, this is a significant event, but, you know, a lot of people, I guess they don't care about unborn babies, you know, being murdered in the womb. But anyway, I wanted to, well, you all know that Monday was the celebration of Juneteenth. You know, that's commemorating the day when some soldiers came into, I think it was Galveston, Texas, and they encountered some black folks who didn't realize that slavery was over, and they told them, you know, slavery is over. You know, I mean, it had been some, I think about two to six months. And these quote unquote slaves didn't realize slavery had been abolished, and they they didn't realize that, you know, they were now free. And, you know, they call this day Juneteenth. And, you know, the push, you know, I didn't know about Juneteenth till, I don't know, I guess 10 years ago, maybe. I never heard about it. They had never taught it to us in the schools. My folks never taught it to me or anything like that. And, you know, a couple of years ago, they decided to make Juneteenth a national holiday. And to me, you know, look, I'm not a legalist. You know, I'm not the type of person to say you shouldn't be celebrating that holiday. If you do you. Okay. You want to celebrate Juneteenth? You know, you do you. Okay. But the problem I have is when people try to tell me that because I'm black, I need to be celebrating that holiday as well. I came to work on Monday. And my boss, he's a white guy. And he was telling me, he said, Vince, I didn't think you would be here today. I thought you'd be out celebrating Juneteenth. And I told him, I don't celebrate that garbage. I don't celebrate it. To be honest with you, I don't know why they made it a national holiday. You know, I know it was a holiday in Texas. And I was fine. I was like, okay, it was in Texas, you know, but. You know, they had to push this thing, you know, Juneteenth. And, things got a little Juneteenth-y on Monday. Several shootings. I think one person got killed. Had a McDonald's got looted, you know, but they were celebrating Juneteenth. I don't celebrate. I'm not a person who gets caught up in the holidays too much. We got one coming up called, you know, Independence Day. And, you know, I do kind of like that holiday. I can celebrate, you know, America all, you know, the rest of the year and whatever and things like that. But I do kind of like Independence Day. I'm not into celebrating holidays like a lot of people do. You know, and like I said, that's fine. You do you and everything. But I look at it as, you know, we really don't need holidays because, you know, who says you can't celebrate this day any other days of the year, you know? So, but if you're a person out there and you celebrate Juneteenth, that's fine. You know, you do you. But don't try to shove it down my throat like, oh, this is something for black people, you know, and everything. And, you know, this gives us representation or whatever word they use now. You know, because I really don't give a rip pair of jeans about Juneteenth. I really don't, you know, because when I sit here and I look at our black youth across this country acting like a bunch of animals, that kind of wears down on that celebration for me. You know, when you have fatherless homes, you have kids whose parents don't encourage them to get an education. It really doesn't. It holds no water with me. Oh, you're out here celebrating Juneteenth, but you don't even have your own self in order. You don't even have your own house in order, but you want to celebrate Juneteenth. Oh, yeah, I'm black. I've been a slave. And what's lost on a lot of people is that black people were not the only people that have been enslaved. And I don't understand why people don't see that. They don't get that. We were not the only people who were enslaved. You know, everyone on the face of this earth is part of a race that has one time or another been enslaved. What makes the black folks more important than anyone else? And by the way, you know, a lot of these people, they want to talk about slavery and, you know, and everything and how it's affecting us. I'm going to talk about that. But they never talk about the slavery that continues to go on as I am broadcasting this show. In Libya, Southern Sudan, some Asian countries, South American countries, slavery is still alive and well today. But nobody says anything about that. We just want to focus on the black slavery because we suffered worse than anyone else. How do you know that? How do you know? I mean, I've listened to people talk about this stuff for all my life. You know, Black History Month. Okay, yeah, let's learn about Martin Luther King. Okay, let's learn about Medgar Evers. Let's learn about Ralph Bunche. Let's learn about Frederick Douglass. You know, and I have no problem with learning the history of these black figures. I have no problem with that, because if I had a problem with learning about them, then I have a problem with history as a whole. But see, that's my point right there. Why do we need black history as if we can just reach into history and just pull out the black history and just put it to the side and say, okay, we got something here? To me, it's more like black history is part of all history. I guess I'm starting to sound like Morgan Freeman now, you know, but black history is a part of all history. You can't separate it from the rest of history. And to be honest with you, there's no such thing as black history. It's just history. Of course, you know, from time on, people going to still refer to it as black history. That's fine. But there really is no such thing as black history. Heck, I never heard of white history, you know. I never heard anyone pushing white history or Jewish history or Indian history. And you got these knuckle brains out there right now who don't understand what their sexual orientation is. They're trying to push, you know, my goodness, I don't forgot what it is, LGBTQIA plus XYZ, and whatever, and all they're doing is they're taking the same tactics that were used in the civil rights era, and they're trying to apply it to themselves. That's why I believe we have an LGBTQ month, because they saw the blacks had their month. They said, well, we need to have our month too, because what we're going through is the same thing the black people went through during the civil rights era. So we need a history too. We need to be recognized too. And they keep talking about the Stonewall riots. The Stonewall riots was not police cracking down on homosexual behavior. They were cracking down on a nightclub that was serving alcoholic drinks to minors, and a riot erupted. But they want to use that event to say, they committed acts of violence against the homosexuals in it. And see, the homosexuals are trying to glean from the black civil rights era. And if I were a black person, or I am a black person, excuse me, I'd be like, wait a minute, y'all. Wait a minute. Why are you trying to take from what we went through and apply it to yourselves when you didn't go through the same things we did? I don't remember seeing gay and straight water fountains. I don't remember seeing gay and straight bathrooms. I don't remember any of that. And see, here's the thing, too. Being black is not a sin. Being a homosexual is. See, that's the difference. It's not the same thing. No one's born a homosexual. And they can gnaw on that old bone all they want to, but no one is born a homosexual. See, I can't help being black. Or a coon, as Retta so eloquently stated in my chat room. I can't help being black. I was born that way. No one is born a homosexual. And I am highly offended, although I'm not one of these people that's going to go around and say, hey, you need to take that flag down or whatever. But I am highly offended on the LGBTQ flag. They have a black stripe and they have a brown stripe on the triangle on the flag, and that represents the black and brown community. And anybody who knows me knows I don't like people trying to speak for me. Don't make me a part of your nasty lifestyle. This represents the black and the brown people. It doesn't represent me. But this speaking, these people that get up and they act like they speak for a certain group of people, like they're trying to be your champion, they're trying to be your hero. Look, dude, you don't speak for me. And I've even heard these people talk about, we got to destroy individuality. You can't be an individual. Well, I'm an individual. And for lack of a better term, I take pride in my individuality, my uniqueness. Because there's not another person on this planet that is exactly like Vincent Edward Brown. Thank the Lord. But they get up there and they think that we're all part of a conglomerate. They think we're all a monolithic conglomerate. They think one black person's experience is another black person's experience. And this, whatever negative happens to a black person, it affects all of us. And I tell people, I tell them kindly, it doesn't affect me. This week on my Facebook page, I think Retta knows about it because I think she made a comment on there. I posted a comment, somewhat of a challenge, on my Facebook page earlier this week. And it says, to my fellow black people, tell me how slavery has affected you personally. Give me specifics and no vague answers allowed. Because the reason why I made that statement or presented that challenge is because you have certain powers that be that say, oh, slavery still affects all of us. We're not that far off from slavery. It was just 160 years ago when we were still slaves, and we are still traumatized by it. Traumatized by something you were never a part of. Now, come on, let's bring in the critical thinking skills right now. Let's bring that in. How can that traumatize you and you didn't even go through it? And not only that, there are other races, like I said before, that have gone that have gone through slavery. They have periods of time when they went through slavery, but they're not sitting here crying about, oh, we're still traumatized by it. White folks, Orientals, Hispanics, they've all gone through periods of time when they were enslaved. But they're not sitting there crying about, oh, we are still suffering because of slavery. So I put that challenge up there. And the first person who responded, he said, you don't like peace, do you? And I just put this up, you know, just to provoke people's thoughts. I mean, tell me, how has it affected you personally? Slavery. I got some comments. You know, one guy said crickets. One guy posted a clip of that movie Caddyshack, where the guy's like, well, we're waiting, you know. And I like what Retta put here. She said, did not affect me at all nor hinder what I wanted to do in life on any level. How could it? I wasn't a slave nor my mother. I always use this as my go-to scripture, which has caused me to be successful as a person. And she quotes Philippians 3:14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And to that, I say a hearty amen. And I remember this was a little more than 30 years ago. I was working at this plastic molding company. And, you know, I was working with some other folks, you know, I think it was two other folks. And I was, you know, I just, I said, we black people, I said, the white man is not our problem. And this one guy was like, what do you mean they're not our problem? What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean? And I said, if we fail to make it in any area of our lives, we only have ourselves to blame. You're not going to tell me that you live in this great country of ours and you are determined to make something of yourself, and then some white person comes in, swoops in and says, I'm not going to let that happen for you. You're not going to tell me that if you have a high level of determination to make something of yourself, a simple white man is just going to come in and just take that all away from you. You're not going to get me to believe that. But see, when you hear people when you hear, you know, the Jesse Jacksons and the Al Sharptons and the Roland Martins and all these rascals talking about how we suffer and we can't get by because the white folks don't want us to do anything, that is a sign of the victimhood mentality. And basically what that does is cause you to lie down and play dead and say, well, I can't do anything because the white man is going to stop me. So the white man is your God. You talk like he's not, but according to you, the sun rises and falls on the whims of the white man. And y'all get out here talking about black power, black power, black power. But when you say the white man is taking over everything, apparently you don't have any power. We have the same opportunities in this country as any white man does. And when we give out the examples of black men who pull themselves up by their bootstraps and they made something of themselves and now they're living prosperous and whatever, we want to say, well, they had to work twice as hard as the white man. And how did you come to this conclusion? Because I can tell you, most white people who are rich today, they had to work just as hard as any black person did. And then when you start giving out examples, like a classic example is Oprah Winfrey, who I think she's worth like $10 billion, if I'm correct, which is more, she's worth more than probably 99% of white people in this country. Now, think about that. White people make up 65% of the population in the U.S. Black people make up, I think, 13%. Oprah Winfrey is worth more than your typical white person in this country. Oh, but she had to work harder. Okay, so why do we still have poor white folks? I mean, I come here. When I do this program, I'm trying to get you to think logically. I'm trying to get you to use your critical thinking skills because, you know, a lot of us, we went through the public school system and they didn't teach us critical thinking skills. I mean, think about that. I had one person on my Facebook page tell me, say, you know, the reason why I'm prosperous is because, you know, I figured out ways to go around the system and everything and stuff like that. Dude, don't give me that. You had to do the same thing anybody else had to do to be successful. And if you had to do all that and you care so much about your black brothers and sisters, how come you don't share that information with them? I mean, we're supposed to be part of this collective and whatever. How come you won't share that information with your fellow black people if that is how you made it? Pause for thought. Oh, we had to work twice as hard. No, you don't. Not as long as you got affirmative action out there. Not if you got these racial quotas out there. Now you don't have to work twice as hard. You can be lazy as all get up. And there are powers that be that will alter the rules so you could get a leg up on the white folks. Yeah, exactly. You tell me, what race of people tell them they are too dumb to figure out how to get an ID? Yeah. Oh, we don't want vote. We don't need no voter ID. That's like a poll tax. They want us to pay to vote. $13, less than $20, you can get a just a standard ID from the DMV. How do I know that? I got one before I started driving. And then once again, everyone, oh, they're trying to keep us from voting. How are they trying to keep you from voting? How? Well, the voter laws. Yeah, you come up, you give me some vague answer. Oh, you got to look at the voting laws. You know, they don't want us to vote. But yet they pass these voting laws. Vote. They talked about the voting laws in Georgia and, oh, they're going to suppress the black vote. Election day came up the next time. They had a record number of black people that went out to vote. So where was this voter suppression? Where was this voter suppression? But anyway, I continue down a couple of more lines. Some guy came on, and I think Pianki knows who this guy is, Mitch Gorey. Mitch Gorey. I checked this guy out. We're not even Facebook friends. I'm wondering how in the world he found this out, how he found out what I put on there, because we're not even Facebook friends. He gets on here, and he says, wow, how could so many people be totally disconnected from reality? If just knowing that your ancestors were lynched, raped, and beaten does not personally affect you, you have narcissistic personality traits. Calling me a narcissist. Your ancestors worked for free for generations, and if you think you are not affected by that, you need education. So I'm uneducated now, too. Did any of you grow up poor? No, I did not grow up poor. Did you go to any underfunded schools? No, I went to public schools. Do you worship Jesus? You doggone Skippy. Do you know your great-grandfather and great-grandmother? I mean, what does that have to do? What does that have to do with how slavery affected me? I mean, it has nothing to do with how slavery affected me today. Let me get up here, pull up his responses again. So I asked him, I said, so I'm a narcissist? I'm like, it just doesn't affect me. Slavery, it happened. Yeah, it was a horrible time. I'm not saying that people who went through it didn't suffer greatly. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying it doesn't affect me because I never went through it. I hate that my ancestors went through that time period. But I can't be affected by it if I've never experienced it. And I asked him again, I said, you know, tell me how slavery affects you today. No vague statements. And then, you know, see, now this is what ticks me off about these, you know, pro-black folks. They act like they know you better than you know yourself. He responds saying, poverty was passed down to your grandparents and parents and to you. Being born poor didn't affect you? No. He says, it does. Slavery affects me today because I grew up poor. What's that have to do with slavery? Your state of prosperity has nothing to do with slavery. How's that making you poor today? Slavery was abolished nearly 160 years ago. How in the world does that affect you today? Because you're poor? You got poor white folks out there, too. Are they going around talking about, oh, I'm poor because, you know, I'm affected by slavery? He says, I am refused loans or given higher interest rates when I borrow. Are you sure about that? Or is that just something you want to throw out there to give yourself a sense of victimhood? When doing business, I am often refused opportunities or given smaller awards because I'm black. How do you know? How do you know about that? You know, there are black loaning companies out there. They don't loan to a lot of black people either. So you're going to say that has to do with slavery? He said, I could go on for days. And I told him, I said, I didn't grow up poor. I said, speak for yourself. I didn't grow up poor. I haven't been denied a loan or given a higher interest rate than anyone else. Dude, when I was growing up, I grew up in the 70s and the 80s. Every Christmas, we had a jumble of gifts under our Christmas tree. Every single Christmas. There were some Christmases I was for sure we weren't going to get a piece of lint. And those turned out to be some of the best Christmases I ever had every single year. We lived in a house in Fort Washington, Maryland on a one-third of an acre. We had the largest yard in the neighborhood. We had some next door neighbors. They were white. Our yard was bigger than theirs. This is in the 70s and the 80s. Not one Christmas did we not have an abundance of gifts under that tree. Every Christmas, we will wake up and have to tip around the gifts that were under the tree. Couldn't even walk around our living room. Don't tell me that I grew up poor. You don't know me. I didn't grow up poor. But once again, these people act as if they know you. And he still hasn't answered the challenge. Is it affecting you today? Because we got poor white folks. We have poor Orientals. We have poor, of course, poor black folks. Poor Asians. How does me being black and poor, what does that have to do with slavery? And someone answered him and said, this statement makes the assumption that white people don't grow up poor just because we weren't slaves. I've never received a dime from an inheritance and grew up poor. Now, this is a white person responding. If you're right, maybe I'm a descendant of a white slave and just don't know it. That's very possible, I guess. And then he asked me, he said, Vincent, what zip code were you born in? And I decided to play his game. He said, what zip code were you born in? And I told him I was born in Roanoke, Virginia. Grew up in the Washington, D.C. area and presently live in Durham, North Carolina. I said, what does my zip code have to do with anything? People, let me tell you the stupidity that is inherent in the pro-black crowd. He says, Vincent, you were born in Virginia and think slavery has not affected you? Just seeing this had any effect on you? And he shows me a picture of the Confederate statue in Richmond, Virginia. Once again, he's basically trying to gaslight me and say, this has affected you. It never affected me. First of all, I didn't even know that statue was in Richmond until a couple of years ago when people were, you know, they were demanding that it be torn down because it's a statue of Robert E. Lee. And Lord knows when I lived up in the Washington, D.C. area, anybody goes around the Washington, D.C. area, you're going to see your share of statues. You can go to some parks, they have statues there. And that mess doesn't affect me. And you're going to tell me it does affect you. How in the world are you going to tell me it's affecting me? You don't live rent-free in my head. But I saw that. I said, you got to be kidding me. And I told him, I said, how do you know? It doesn't bother me one iota. So what? They got a statue of Robert E. Lee. Oh, woe is me. Oh, they got a statue of a Confederate general in the middle of Richmond, Virginia. Oh, wow. Oh, gosh. Oh, the humanity. Save the children, you know. And I said, this is why I don't cater to the pro-black narrative. They act as if they know you better than you know yourself and feel as if you should think like they do. I can think for myself. Thank you very much. I mean, it's just, Retta, she says, and this is why I can't, she says, this is why I can't with black people. All emotion. No logic. That's right. And given when she makes that statement, she's not saying all black people are like that. She's making a general statement. So some knucklehead come in here and start, you know, getting on her saying, oh, it's not all black people. No, she's not talking about every last single individual black person. And Sarge makes a good statement here, too. He says, seems to me that the ultimate in narcissistic personality disorder is to expropriate the sufferings of others as your own, as if you actually experience it. Yeah, that's what they do. They try to throw that off on you. This affected me. I know it affected you. No, it didn't. I'm a little bit too mature for that. To be offended at a statue and demand it be taken down. I'm a little bit too mature for that. And Sarge goes on to say, my father got a Purple Heart in World War II. Am I allowed to appropriate the pain that he suffered from the German artillery fragments that penetrated his flesh as my own? There we go. There we go. Sarge, you're going to have to get off my show. You're infusing too much common sense into the rhetoric. I can't have people with common sense on my program. I mean, absolutely no. I mean, no logic, no critical thinking skills. All they do is they respond from an area of victimhood. That's all they respond. That's how they respond. Oh, me, oh, my, I'm undone. Oh, man, the white man got everything. Oh, what am I ever to do? The white man is your God, then. I'll say it again. The white man is your God. That's a good statement there, too. Even folks living in the same home don't share the same experiences. They don't. Anybody who's grown up with a family can understand that. They just don't. Each and every last one of us is unique in our own individuality. Every last one of us. And me, you know, I languish in my uniqueness. I languish in my individuality. And I thank God there is not another Vincent E. Brown. I'm telling you. So this dude, he comes up, he says, Vincent E. Brown, any person that is black and surrounded by MAGA memorabilia. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Any person that is black and surrounded by MAGA memorabilia, Confederate flags and artifacts, and then makes the statement, it doesn't bother me at all, is perpetrating. Perpetrating what? What am I perpetrating? Finish your statement. Oh, perpetrating a fraud? Is that what you're trying to say? I'm not perpetrating. I'm not giving you, basically what you're saying is that I'm lying. That's basically what you're saying. Are you comfortable when cops stop you? Yeah. The only reason why I'm nervous when a cop stops me is I hope he doesn't give me a ticket. That's it. I'm not worried about him pulling out a gun and shooting and killing me. You know why? Because when the cops pull me over, whether I am guilty or not, I am going to show as much respect to that police officer as I can. No, they don't. I do not feel uncomfortable when a cop pulls me over. I'm not nervous. I'm not scared. I remember one time I got pulled over by a cop because I was speeding, and I knew it. I pulled over before the cop even came out of his hiding place and turned on his lights. Because when I saw him driving out of that parking lot, I was like, oh, boy, I think he saw me. So let me go ahead, pull over. I pulled over. That's when he turned his red and blues on. I was already, because I knew I'd been speeding. And, yeah, he gave me a ticket. And, yes, I had to pay the ticket. But I didn't sit there and give him an attitude. Man, you need glasses. Oh, you just pulled me over because I'm black. These people that get killed in these encounters with cops, look at the situation. See, one thing that I understand is when going through life, when you read or when you try to learn a subject or whatever, you got to learn in context. And all people are saying is, oh, white cop kills black kid, white cop is racist. But they don't see that black kid tried to attack the cop. Cop gave him every chance to comply, to calm down. Black kid didn't want to calm down, did something stupid, and then that's why the cop shot him. And he goes on to say, I never said anything about pro-black. Well, that's what you are. You're one of these pro-black people. This is simply acknowledging the fact that the effects of slavery are very much present in our everyday lives. It's not present in mine. It's not present in my life. So I quoted him. He said, any person that is black and surrounded by MAGA memorabilia, Confederate flags and artifacts, and then makes a statement that doesn't bother me at all, is perpetrating. I said, says who? Says who? He says, are you comfortable when cops stop you? I say, yes, because I don't commit crimes. I never said anything about pro-black. This is simply acknowledging the fact that the effects of slavery are very much present in our everyday lives. I said, maybe in your life, not in mine. And I told him, I said, you know it was Africans that sold other Africans into slavery, right? Or do you need to brush up on your history? You know, they said white folks didn't just go into Africa and take black folks, because they said white folks, the white Europeans, they couldn't just go into Africa, into the deepest, darkest of Africa and take slaves, because there were diseases that they were not used to. And they said a white person could not survive 6 weeks in the interior of Africa. So they cut deals with, you know, certain tribesmen and whatever. Hey, bring your slaves to the coast. You know, we'll buy them from you. We'll ship them to America. And a lot of times these slaves that were sold to them, they were, you know, prisoners of war. or, you know, maybe someone who couldn't pay a debt or something like that. But white folks didn't just say, ooh, black people, let's enslave them, take them to America, let's force Christianity on them. But when you listen to these pro-black people out here, that's the story that they give. And he says something. He says, he responds to me. He says, just the 85% of us who don't pretend to assimilate into a culture where for 400 years you have been shown that you are not valued, wanted, or accepted. Okay, well, how do you know this, dude? How do you know this? You see, he acts like he knows that I'm lying. That because I'm simply because I'm black, it still affects me. It doesn't affect me. And then he said, darn, dude, they have really brainwashed you. That's their go-to insult right there. They have brainwashed you. Africans did not load other Africans into ships and take them to Europe to be sold. Dude, I didn't say that. All I said was Africans sold other Africans into slavery. I didn't say they loaded them on ships and took them to another country to be sold. Now you see a stupidity. Ships came to the African coast with guns. The sailors came ashore and killed, dismembered, raped, and ravaged thousands of Africans, and then hung the bodies of chiefs, their wives, and kids on poles in front of their homes. They went to the next African nation and told them, either you help us catch your neighbors or you will be next. WTF would you have done? I ain't selling my fellow people into no slavery. If you think that Europeans paid for slaves when they were getting them for free, you need to turn that diploma back in and go to the school of common sense, something that apparently he does not have. And a friend of mine told me, said, you need to do your research. Told him he needs to do his research. And someone shared with him about, you know, the Ottoman Empire and, you know, slavery and all that and everything. And he tells this person, you get an A+ for copy and paste. I said, that's history, dude. And I reminded him, gaslighting doesn't work with me. It doesn't work with me. You can say I'm brainwashed all you want. You're just strengthening my resolve. That's all you're doing. And then Retta has to get in here. Retta is always getting into my business. She always getting in my business. I don't know. I need to talk to her about that. She said, I'm so sick of this freaking victim mentality. This is how Democrats keep folks voting for them every 2 and 4 years. What party keeps telling black folks they are too stupid to figure out how to get an ID? What race of people even says this to their own? I jumped off the Democrat victimhood plantation years ago because I'm tired of hearing this garbage. There's always some boogeyman out there who will hold me back no matter how hard I try. Well, guess what? That boogeyman at the end of the day was always me. Oh, girl. I stopped blaming others for my shortcomings. I worked on myself and fulfilled my dreams. 4 degrees, making 6 figures, own property, 850 credit score. And I get the best rates no matter where I go. I had lenders fighting over me. Am I bragging? No. It was always like this until I decided to do something about it. I'm sick of the invisible boogeyman and excuses. And I think when she finished making that statement, she dropped her microphone. And then he starts up on her. Said victims, stating the obvious and claiming victimhood is not the same thing. It's not the obvious. I don't know what dimension people allow their minds to drift into to think this stuff up. says victim, stating the obvious and claiming victimhood is not the same thing. Although if you studied history or are alive in the U.S., you have seen plenty of victims. Yeah, I've seen plenty of victims. Yes, I have. I'm glad you have all those accomplishments. It doesn't change the fact that you are more of an exception than the rule. See, there they go with that again. If you are a black person who excels and becomes successful, you're the exception, not the rule. No, you're not a black person that just that put in the hard work, put in the blood, sweat, and tears, and made something of yourself. You're just the exception. So tell me, Oprah Winfrey the exception? He says, what amazes me most is people who make it and then feel the need to marginalize those who don't. That's not marginalization. That's just stating the facts, dude. You know, the thing that you're stating? Talk about Democrats all you want, but they are not the ones marching with tiki torches, closing voting locations, or gerrymandering the votes. I very disagree with you on that one. I'm not going to go into detail, but I would verily disagree with you on that one. And I decided, you know, I didn't want, he kept saying his garbage. You know, did you know that prior to 1925, more than 85 predominantly black successful towns were burned to the ground by white mobs? Of course, he doesn't know the history of that. He just thinks it was white mobs that just burned these towns. You know, one classic example to give is Black Wall Street in Oklahoma City. They don't tell you how that mob was started, but Black Wall Street got burned down. Guess what? They built it back up, and it continued to prosper until the 60s. Of course, he doesn't know that bit of history. All those people living their lives and minding their business, all to have a group of night riders destroy it all. That's not putting anything on oneself. And that doesn't affect me either. That what happened to Black Wall Street back then, that doesn't affect me. Prior to the 50s, many blacks that had accumulated wealth had it taken by the whites. So it's not just about instilling desire. It's about getting a certain segment of society under control. On another note, it can't be fate when it's by design. I'd like you to tell that to Retta Washington. I'd love to see a white person try to take Retta Washington's accomplishments away from her. Oh, I would just love it. I would pay money to see that. I would buy the popcorn, the goobers, the big gulp. I would just love to see that. Because over the years, I've gotten to know Retta. Retta is a firecracker. I would love to see that. But, you know, he kept making his statements. He just kept making his statements, and I just had enough of him. I had him blocked because he was just being stupid. He wasn't a friend of mine anyway, so, you know. I'm telling you, I would love to see somebody try to take Retta's accomplishments away from her. I've never seen Retta face to face, but I've gotten to know her quite a bit over the few years. Nah. You ain't gonna take nothing from her. And shoot, she's from South Carolina and she's living in New York City. I mean, think about that. Think about that. You got a Southern lady living in New York City. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah, Retta, I'm singing your praises right here. I'm singing your praises because I've gotten to know you over several years. She said, it just fell into my lap, bro, without me lifting a finger or changing my mindset. Just, yeah. Anyway, that's the end of the first hour. I'm going to go into my advertisements, and when we come back, I'm going to make some more statements, and then I will do some fruit bat hunting, which means I am going to the phones. You are listening to Black by Color Only on CNM Radio.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. Brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
We have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, couch purring, bed leaping, and of course, companionship.
Wonderful. And what breed would you say Nico is?
I'd have to go with a tabby-ish Persian kind of mix.
Tremendous cat.
I'd also like to point out her coat's wonderful mix of colors. Is it black, gray, gray-black, brown?
Somewhere in between.
Indeed.
You know, it's always special when we get to see a cat like this.
Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And how she's so incredibly cute in her indifference to commands.
A strong-willed feline.
Ah, and see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
I know. Fantastic cat.
Fantastic indeed. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit the shelterpetproject.org today. Adopt. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the show. Welcome back, everybody. If you'd like to be a guest to call in to the show, call in number is 646-478-5284. And before I left, I was talking about this encounter I was having with this guy on Facebook, and I'm checking out some of you all's comments in the chat room, and Retta's like, yep, no coon on the earth like cousin coon. I gotta get that made into a t-shirt. I do. And Sarge says, welcome to the kingdom of coondom. You know what? Boy, y'all giving me too many ideas today. Sometimes these ideas just float around in my head. I'm like, oh my goodness. And Sarge says something very interesting too. He says, riddle me this then. Why did the kingdoms of Mali and Dahomey send a delegation to the court of Queen Victoria to protect the actions of the Royal Navy's Africa squadron in suppressing the slave trade? Answer, because the Brits were breaking their rice bowl. I like that. But yeah, this is what you encounter when you want to dispense the truth. I was telling some guys this morning, I went to a men's breakfast this morning, and I was telling them, a lot of times people like to candy coat the truth and everything because they don't want the corresponding reaction that comes from sharing the truth. And the truth, it cramps a lot of people's styles. A lot of people don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear it. And when you share it with them, they get offended, they take it personal, and then they lash out at you like, you're the one who's doing the insulting. All I did was share you the facts. That's all I did. Retta, I would take offense with that too. I took offense myself. She said, I take offense with this guy talking about I'm the exemption. I work with a lot of successful black people. But see, they care about is their own little world. That's all they care about. Now, I know I talk about individuality and everything. I'm not talking about being in your own little world, though. You're an individual that reacts with other people, But these people act like they're so encased in their own little world and they just randomly think, oh yeah, you're this person, so that means this is what's happening to you, this is what's happening in your life and everything, without ever studying the people you're criticizing. That's a problem with a lot of people. They don't study the people that they criticize. They just sit there and they make these statements. You're the exception, you know, as if your hard work didn't produce the results that you're living in today. They do that garbage. And then they're looking at you funny. And I tell them, like I said, hey, dude, that is you. That's not me. Now, could I live in a better place? Yeah, I could. I've been living in this two-bedroom apartment for about 18 years now. I would love to live in a house. Right now, I'm doing things that, you know, and I know I'm in my 50s and everything. People are like, oh, you're too old. Well, as long as I'm alive, I'm going to keep on working. But that's what gets me about a lot of these people. They act like they talk for you. That's the thing that really irks me about everything. They act as if they talk for you. I am your spokesperson. I don't need you to be my spokesperson. I can speak clearly and loud. I can be my own spokesperson. I guess there are no successful black people out there, even though we have Oprah Winfrey and Ben Carson. I can bring up people like Booker T. Washington and Frederick Douglass. I mean, Hiram T. Revels. None of us are successful because of the white man. I mean, for real. Well, folks, it's time for me to do a little fruit bat hunting. Hey, people, that's my fruit bat alarm. That means I'm about to go to the phones. Now, if you're a person, you're on the phones, and you're just calling in to disrupt this program or indulge in excessive profanity, ad hominem attacks, character assassinations, gaslighting, things of that sort, you'd best hang up right now, because if you don't, I will be more than happy to oblige you. But having said all that, let me go to the phones. Hello, welcome to the show. Is he on? Going once.
Hey, Vincent.
Going twice. Ah, there we go. Hey, Bianchi.
How many blacks you know that put up skyscrapers and bridges?
None personally.
Would you think that if one done that as a profession, own business, you think that would be successful?
I think they would.
Well, when you start naming them, you'd be mentioning Oprah. And why couldn't you never mention my name? That's what I done.
Oh, yes. See, I need to refer to people that I know personally, you know. But yeah.
You didn't know no Frederick Douglass?
Nah. Bianchi, won't you share with the listening audience your exploits in your life, if you can?
Well, I've had a lot of exploits, but my main business was putting erecting structural steel for bridges across waterways in thorough ways and erecting high-rise office buildings and industrial work. So you don't have to be going all the way back to Booker T. Washington. Leave it in the hell alone.
So mainly what you're telling me is that you're a white person. What you're telling me is that you're a white person, right? You got to be white because only white people do that.
Well, that's what they say. Only white folks do those things. But, you know, you talk, too, about Wall Street being burnt down, right? And didn't that guy say that they had those successful towns that were destroyed?
Mm-hmm.
No whites. Well, hell, they had insurance.
Yep.
Hmm?
They certainly did.
What they responded to when they were, you heard some of them responding to when they was looting out of those 572 riots. They were burning up the drugstores and running into stores and the Walmart. They said they got insurance.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, those areas that was destroyed, quote unquote, the blacks supposedly had owned, and that area in Oklahoma, by the way, was Creek, Muscovy Creek land. But they had insurance, didn't they?
Yep, certainly did.
Yeah. So
they built
it
back up, and it thrived for another 30-something years, I think, after that.
Insurance built it back up.
Yep.
And then they want reparations because of that. Insurance paid them. So when the insurance paid them, why come they didn't take some of the insurance money and pass it on down to the future generations?
Yep. That was their reparations, be honest with you.
And who's going to pay the reparations for that McDonald's that got tore up for black for Juneteenth?
Yep.
I mean, we got to think about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They leverage this against you. You got to turn around and leverage it right back against them. They owe reparations for that.
Exactly.
And I don't know who the idiot you was. What were you debating on Facebook?
Yeah, it was Facebook. He said his name was Mitch Gorey. I don't know where this guy come from because we weren't Facebook friends. A lot of times when I see a name that I don't that I'm not familiar with, I'll go check out their profile. And I was like, wait a minute, we're not even friends. I said,
that's
how in the world
Kelvin's
did he? Oh, Kelvin Spencer.
Yeah, he's
one of his friends.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And see, you know, I'm amazed that they get this stuff by you like that. And I know that me and Sarge has coached you. He said that Africans didn't carry Africans out to the ship. What did he say?
He said the Africans, they didn't put them on ships and bring them to America so they could be sold. All I said was that they sold them into slavery. That's all I said. I didn't say anything about
them
getting on ships.
Africans didn't put them on the ships. Well, to go to show you how dumb that son of a gun is, and I wanted to call him something else, but I don't know his mama. Ships that sail on the seas cannot go upriver.
Yeah.
Therefore, to your internal slave markets that was ran by the indigenous people of that land who have been doing that activity for thousands of years before they ever met anybody white. Matter of fact, they taught whites the idea of slavery using people like
that. Yeah, they certainly did. They certainly did.
Well, you got to give them that. They got to take claim for that, too. They take claim for everything else.
Yep.
Peanut butter and pressing cones and fireworks, Roman candles and all that. But ships that sail on the seven seas cannot go upriver.
Nope.
As a matter of fact, when they got off the ship and the Africans went out and got them, brought them in, And when they came ashore, they had to pay to Paul. You know what pay to Paul means? Still exists today. Pay to Paul is when you take one hand upside down and hit it into the other hand like this.
Yeah.
You got to pay the king. Yeah. You're coming into his land. You paid the chief.
Profitable.
You paid the chief. That's how that went. If you didn't pay, you either got killed or he's going to put you back out to sea.
Yep.
And the only way that the slaves came from the interior, when that opportunity exists, because going to the east always existed.
Yeah.
You got rid of those they didn't want, right?
Of course.
You got anything at your house that you've had for a long time?
Well, for starters, there's my wife.
Well, you're talking about her. But you got anything at your house you've had for a while, a keepsake?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, why don't you get rid of it?
Nah, I ain't, it's got sentimental value.
Right, it's got value. Don't nobody get rid of anything of value.
Exactly.
Those people that they got rid of was of value, they wouldn't have got rid of them.
That's right.
So you just got to think what people don't do. No ethnic groups get rid of things that's of value and of good use.
That's right. That's just common sense right there.
Especially if you can not pay for damages that you done. Well, they ain't going to wait around until you come up with the money. They're going to go ahead and take their opportunity while you young and strong, and they can get the most for you to go against, to offset that which you tore up.
Yep.
So they got rid of you. And they never, you know, it's just like when you have an accident. Insurance pay you off for your Corvette, but you never get total compensation for your expense and inconvenience. And that's what
that's
it
true.
Was with them. They never got full restitution. So those priests put curses on. And that which was not paid for was expected to be paid by the sons. In other words, the sons was born coming into the world with debt.
Yeah.
In many cases of time, when a person owed somebody and they didn't have the money and they had some able-bodied sons, they said, here, take my son and work him until you pay the debt off. And if the debt wasn't paid off, it's passed on down to the next son, and the next son, and the next son, and to your Jesse Jackson, that he's a son, and to your Clyburn, he's a son, and to your next-door neighbor who's black, he's a son. He owed for the debt that his greatest ancestors committed that started the whole mess. In other words, black Americans owe those tribes over there.
Yeah, that's and it's still going on today. It's that same payment system, you know, it's still going on today in various countries in Asia and of course Africa, and I think in South America as well.
You damn right, it still goes on. Here's another thing you said that was an error. You said that people in Galveston found out that slavery was ended by Lincoln's proclamation. Well, that's wrong. The only thing that could end slavery was the 13th Amendment. And really, states didn't have to follow that. Did you know that? States didn't have to follow that. And some did not. And those some that did not, states or countries, those some that did not was the Indians. They had sovereign countries.
And they certainly ain't releasing our property because that was the trend of that period of time in history. That was property that they bought at the slave market. Is that what the Constitution guarantees you, protection of your property?
True that.
So he only could free slaves who ran and sought protection behind Union lines. You know how people run to an auditorium or a church when there's a tornado and seek refuge?
That's exactly what it was. Exactly.
When the tornado is over, what do the owners of those places tell them? Y'all can go now.
Yep.
Your refuge days is over. Storm is gone. So that's what he done. And it was only Congress in 1865, December, that banned it throughout the nation. But like I said before, states didn't have to follow if they didn't want to. But they was tired of this stuff. That's another thing you gotta keep in mind. The power that states have. Tremendous power, but they don't use it. And the reason why they probably don't use it is because the people are so ignorant that they don't make them use it. You know, if you're going to depend on the federal government in order to get justification, why do you vote state and local? Why waste the money and the time?
That's true. Oh, my goodness. That's that is so true.
Why do you waste time voting state and local? If you're going to let them, and worse yet, guess who else? Name me who else is putting laws out there for you to live by that was never voted on. Guess who else? Can you name them? Come on, Vincent.
Not at this moment.
My
court. Brain is going through a little. Yeah. My brain's going through a tornado right now.
It's the courts. You need to be writing this stuff down. It's the courts. Courts cannot make laws. Where in the Constitution does it say a court makes laws? Who makes laws?
Nowhere.
Your legislative body makes the laws.
Exactly.
Once again, the people. The people go to their legislature and say, this is what we want. What they're doing, they are writing the laws that they wish to be governed by.
Yeah.
Courts don't make, only thing courts, you ever had a dispute with your wife? Well, I don't know if you ever see your daddy and your mama have disputes?
Oh, yeah.
Who would step in and say what was right? Your grandparent. The grandparent was the ultimate judge. Huh?
That didn't happen with me growing up, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Well, I tell you what. You ever have your mama, your daddy tell you to do something, you go to your mama and say, Mama, Daddy told me to do this.
Oh, no, I never done that.
You ever have a dispute between your sister? Your sister's there in the chat room. You and Greta arguing, who would come in and break the argument up and say, this is what it's going to be? Well, that was the mother or the father. They was the judge. Argument between two parties. Their opinion.
Yeah.
Except exactly. They had some authority to make it. Right?
Oh, yeah.
So that's what it is. Courts do not make laws. And sometimes... So at some point in time, a state, which I have seen them do that, like, for instance, the last one I seen might have been something between that, was 55-mile-an-hour speed limit. That state said, we ain't going to do that. What kind of enforcement action do the federal government have? Vincent? Hate to pick on you like this, but ain't nobody else.
You're putting me on the spot, but that's good. That's good. I ain't complaining about that. You know, my brain's got a little tornado.
What kind of enforcement action do the federal government have?
They can. It's the Constitution.
They don't have no damn enforcement. Nothing. They can't force no state to do shit. Only thing they can is when you sell gasoline, and the price of that gasoline is what's called a federal tax. And when it comes time to build a bridge or some highway project, the federal government will give you some of that gasoline tax back toward that project. Or even you can say in some of your withholding tax.
Yeah.
So to keep them from holding you hostage with your own damn money, guess what? Don't give them your money. It'd be like a man want to rob you and he ain't got no gun. You reach in your waistband and say, here, take my gun and rob me with it.
I mean, for real.
You see how things wash out when you start using critical thinking?
Yeah. Exactly.
Like the Supreme Court told Alabama, I think another state, well, y'all need to create another black district. Okay. Where you live now, did you live someplace before in the same state?
Yeah, I lived in a area in Maryland called Fort Washington, Maryland.
Fort Washington. That was a state district, wasn't it, for voting? Either representative or state senator, right?
Yeah, it was right outside Washington, D.C., right there on the border.
Did you like the way the politics went along there?
No.
All right, now hang on right there. Don't, wait a minute, just hang with me there for a minute. Let me get another sip of this smoothie, pineapple Caribbean. Hang on. Okay. All right, now you used to live in that district, state district, and you moved out of it because it had some lousy politics. And you moved into another district. But I can guarantee you the Democratic Party in that district didn't like you moving. So here comes the court saying, well, when you draw up these district lines, you got to create an all-black district. Well, we shy one person. Well, hell, go over there and get Vincent. He live over there. That don't mean nothing. Take the line and draw it around him and bring it back. That's what they do. They will
take
the line.
That's what's known as gerrymandering.
They will take the line, scoot it way over there and catch you and your wife and bring it back around like a lasso. Well, we got us a black one here. Okay. That's what they're talking about. And to say to create a black district is what? That's discrimination. You mean to tell me there won't be no white in that district? And also, it's a slap in your face or anybody else's face because they think that you are who? Democrats.
Yeah. They automatically assume it. You know,
got your label, and we'll hold you into
that. That's what they call gerrymandering. You know, altering the shape and the size of the district in order for political advantage.
You know what that's really called? That's called D-E-J-U-R-I, segregation. It's government-sponsored segregation. See, what you done, when you moved away from that ratchetness, you done de facto. You done it on your own. And that's what you chose to do.
Exactly.
But here comes the government with this de jure segregation. Say, we're going to put all the blacks over here and call it a black district. That's a bunch of bull crap.
Yeah.
And people need to say something about that.
They're trying to do that in the district I live in here in Durham. I mean, they done changed the district lines down here so many times. It's crazy. I mean, every time you look up, it's like, man, you know, they done changed it again, you know, and they're trying, and what they're trying to do, What they're trying to do down here is to have an all-black district, just like you were just describing.
That's what they're trying to do is have an all-black district. Let me tell you something. What do you vote for a person for? Are you voting for the policy that's going to be of your interest, or are you voting skin color? If you vote in skin color, you're a damn fool. And there's many examples of this. Lori Lightfoot for one. Now this Brandon for another. Kim Gardner in St. Louis. Kim Fox, Chicago. Yeah. There's a whole lot of examples.
Yep.
And when you vote for them, you making, is that making everybody in the district wealthy and well off? No, it's just that one family who's creating a dynasty. And then when the husband died, the wife thinks that she should inherit the district.
That's
just
right.
Just like old Milk Dud Head. What was his name? What was the name of the guy there in Baltimore? Can't think of.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, his head looked like a Milk Dud. You know the Milk Dud count? His head looked just like that.
Yeah.
When he died, his wife said that she should have the district.
I know who you're talking about because his face is, I can picture his face in my mind right now.
Right. There's so many of them, damn, you can't keep track of them. You got to have pencil and paper to write all that stuff down. But anyway.
I mean, for real.
That's all I wanted to talk about, I think. I don't done enough. I could talk about some more things.
Well, thank you for the lesson, though, Pianki. Thank you for the lesson.
Don't let them people bamboozle you, Vincent.
I mean, for real.
See, I tagged you in those remarks to them so that you can read up how just silly these people are. Then when I leave, they jump on you, man, and bamboozle you. Pianki's gone. Let's get him, y'all. Let's get him. That's what they do. You can't let them do that to you, man. Put some socks on in them sandals.
I appreciate that, Pianki. I really
All right,
do
I'll talk to
it.
You later. Get Sarge. He's right. Hey, by the way, you can comment about Irondale. Where is he? I heard from him.
Irondale is in the queue right now. I see his number, and I'm going to bring him on right now.
I'm listening.
All right, Dale. What's up, dude? Uh-oh. Earth to Iredale. Earth to Iredale. Oh, okay. He's in the queue, but for some reason he's not answering the phone. So we'll just leave it there, you know. And one thing I like to allow people, I want to let people know when I do this program, I'm learning just as much from everybody as I hope people are learning from me. You know, I'm not going to sit here and act like I got all the answers and that I know everything and stuff like that. Past couple of days, I've had kind of a rough time at work. It wasn't bad, but you know, I've just been working. I haven't gotten a lot of sleep like I want to, and you know, my brain just feels like a E5 tornado right now. But I told myself I'm gonna, you know, the show must go on, you know, and everything. But I really appreciate people like Pianki, you know, coming on the program. Now, if Pianki can clean up his language a little bit, but you know, and Pianki ain't in trouble because I said excessive profanity. He wasn't doing excessive profanity or anything. But always look for the opportunity to learn from others as well. And you know, it's a narcissistic personality that says, I can't learn from anyone else. You know, I know what I got. I know everything that I need to know, and nobody needs to tell me anything else, you know. So, but I really appreciate, you know, when people like Sarge and Pianchi and Retta and all of them come on here, and they, you know, they give me some insight into what's going on in the world and everything, and I really appreciate it. So, let me see if I can get Iredale again. Hello, Iredale, are you there? Okay, I don't know what's going on, but okay, but yeah, folks, and let me tell you all something. Pianchi sends me a lot of articles. He sends me a lot of them, and sometimes it be so many that I can't even account for them all, you know. And you know, when he showed me the that riot they had in the McDonald's for Juneteenth. Let's see if I can pull that up real quick. You know, a lot of us, you know, those of us in the black race, we get out of here, we start saying, hey, give us stuff and everything. And then when we get it, you know, we act like a bunch of animals. They gave us Juneteenth and they still want to act like a bunch of animals. And see, here's the thing about it too, is, you know, let's say that McDonald's closes down. They say, you know what, we're sick and tired of this. You know, we're just sick and tired of, you know, these animals coming in here, messing up our store and everything. And then they say, you know what, we can't be profitable here. So we're going to close up shop here and we're going to move somewhere else. Then they'll be crying, oh, why are you all leaving? Oh, you're taking jobs away from us. This is racism. This is racism. No, it's called doing business. And, you know, in the past, I've listened to people when folks would get arrested for shoplifting and folks would sit there and defend them and say, well, I know they were shoplifting, but it ain't hurting anybody. Yes, it does. Shoplifting hurts everybody because when you shoplift an item from a store, you know, you take something without paying for it, it increases, it puts a burden on that business. And so they increase prices in order to make up for that loss. So when they increase the prices, guess who has to pay higher prices as a result? It's you and me, even though we didn't steal anything, we didn't take anything. And see, then when it gets to the point where there's so much thievery going on in a particular location, they say, look, we're losing profit here because people keep coming in, stealing our items. So we're going to shut down. We're going to move somewhere else. That's what happened in Chicago this year. And people are up there, oh, why are y'all doing this? Y'all taking away the businesses and everything. Well, then, if you want us to stay here, then you need to get with your fellow with your fellow townspeople and tell them, hey, we need to stop this stealing. We need to stop this because the businesses are not going to – they're not going to stick around if we keep on doing this. But see, they want to come out of a area of victimhood, and then they want to say, oh, it's racist. Y'all just don't like black people. No, apparently black people don't like themselves because they don't understand that when you steal from a business, that affects everybody. And you sit there and say, oh, okay, well, they got the insurance. They can pay for it. You know, ain't nothing but a little Hostess Ho-Ho. Ain't nothing but a jar of mayonnaise. But all that stuff being stolen, it adds up. And see, when someone is owning a business, when they're running a business, they're in that business to make a profit. And if they can't make a profit in the area where they are located, they have every right to shut their business down and go to a place that's going to be profitable. And sad to say, a lot of these food deserts that they keep talking about, you know why they're in? You know why there are a lot of them in these black neighborhoods? Because when you give certain black people, opportunity or you give them something that they can benefit from, they ruin it. They go there. They disrespect the workers. They go in there, they're stealing stuff. And then next thing you know, they're like, hey, well, we're not making a profit here, so hey. We got to leave. We got to make a profit. But a lot of people, they don't see it that way. And then they turn around and say, it's the white man. It's because of slavery. You know, we can't have anything because the white man is holding us back. No, you're holding yourself back. You're holding yourself back. And you sit there like, oh, well, we've been wanting this opportunity. And I remember back some years ago, Trader Joe's wanted to build a location in, I think it was Salem, Oregon. It's one of them towns up there in Oregon. And the black people in the town, they said, we don't want a Trader Joe's because it's going to increase the amount of white people into our town. I said, you got to be kidding me. Someone actually said that. And then they wonder, well, where are the businesses? Why do we got to go across town to get some groceries? Because you can't keep nothing in your neighborhood. And then you want to sit there and talk about racism and slavery and Black Lives Matter. Apparently the Black Lives don't matter. You don't care about other Black lives. You just care about yourself. Let me see if I can get... Iredale, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
He shows up. The Loch Ness Monster.
Oh, thanks a whole lot. I appreciate that. I've been called many things, but I have not been called a monster before. But that's all right. I still love you anyway.
What's up, dude?
Not much, man. Just enjoying your show, man. Just sitting here chilling out, resting, man, listening to your show, man. Don't really have that much to say. I just relaxing and listening to your show and hearing what I do.
Hey, why come you don't get here on time?
You know what, man? Let me tell you about you right now, okay? Don't let me have to get in my private jet, fly over your home, and bomb you 66 times, okay?
Well, with bags of flour, somebody already tried to do that.
You know, and by the way, respect your elders, sir, okay?
Well, I tried to, but
I don't know.
You ain't around.
No,
y'all
might be the same age. I'm not sure.
Well, whether he's the same age as me, I doubt that seriously, but he need to respect his elders because I will come up there and drop some bombs on him 66 times, okay?
Are you feeling better now?
Oh, yeah. I'm ready to come jack you up if you don't be nice to me. And you haven't been nice to me on this man. On
I
this
want
man's
to tell
soul,
you.
So.
Although it's a little late, but happy Father's Day.
Oh, now you're trying to get on my good side. Well, I appreciate that. I had a great Father's Day. Even though I didn't talk to you, my daughters called me, texted me. I had a lot of people call me, text me, Facebook and Messenger and everything. Nice, peaceful, quiet Father's Day. I appreciate that. And
well,
happy Father's Day to you, too.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yeah, but I'm a warrior. I'm alive and very much kicking, okay? And
yes,
enjoying
sir.
And I knew he was getting ready to attack me, you know, so but I still love you anyway, man. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Well, Vincent, back to you.
Yeah.
No, hold on. This is Mr. Harris's show right now, okay?
Yes, sir.
Now, don't you dare cut me off, okay?
You better ask permission, Vincent.
This is still my territory.
Well, let me just say this to you. You don't want to deal with no serious case of Iredale-itis, and you're flirting with that right now, and that's more serious than AIDS, okay, sir? But I enjoy talking to you, giving you a hard way to go. I'm alive and kicking, and back to you, Vincent, because this guy here, man, he's a mess and a half, man.
But, you know, all jokes aside, how are you feeling today, though, Iredell?
I'm doing good. I went out and did a few errands, and I'm just sitting back here relaxing, resting, watching some old stuff on TV. Mentally, I'm doing good. Physically, I'm getting stronger. So, you know, the Lord's going to, you know, bring me through, and, hey, I believe in the Lord's report. Who shall you believe?
Well,
I believe in the Lord's report, so everything's copus tegus, they say. Go ahead.
Well, you had 9 men praying for you this morning.
Well, I appreciate that. I could use all the prayer I can get. You know, I know somebody's out there praying for me, and, you know, actually things are going well for me as far as I understand everything. So I appreciate that, you know. Hey, look, man, it's time to love people and pray for people, because we all need help. We all need prayer from time or another. And but let me say this, too. I'd rather be here than down there in the bottom of the ocean, and I think the people are all dead, so at least I'm alive and kicking. So that's the way I look at things like that. At least I'm alive and kicking.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for everybody praying for me, I just thank the Lord for that. I'm finished. Go ahead.
Okay.
Back to you.
Back
to you, sir.
Okay. All right. I appreciate that. Yeah. What he was mentioning, excuse me. Oh, let me get this. Yeah. What he was mentioning was about the, that sub that went down to the Titanic, and, they, I guess it was, you know, people were paying $250,000 to go down in that sub to see the wreck of the Titanic, which I can understand why people would want to do that. I wouldn't want to do it because, you know, to be surrounded by all that water, and the deeper you go, the more that the pressure increases. And the person who owned the company that operated that sub, he was caught in some shady dealings. And he even made a statement that he doesn't like old white men, you know, because they're not inspirational. Some woke something he was saying. He said he doesn't like old white men to drive his to drive his subs because they're not inspirational. And what I'm thinking is he had someone who was inexperienced on driving that sub. And the thing about it, when they showed the control panel for the sub, it was a Logitech game controller. It looks like a PlayStation game controller. And I say, you got to be kidding me. If I had seen that, I would have been like, give me my money back. Nah. I want my money back, you know. And I saw that. I said, you got to be kidding me. He is not using that to control that sub, you know. And I know if I was in that situation, I would have been like, okay, let's stay on the boat on top of the water. Y'all send down one of those remote control subs down there, and we'll call that a day. You know, you send that down there, and oh, look, there's the Titanic. You know, but his boat was made of carbon fiber, which carbon fiber, it is tough, but it cannot withstand the pressure of the ocean at 12,000 feet. Below the surface, you know, and they're not going to find the bodies. I'm just going to let you know that right now, because that pressure, it probably crushed them to atoms. But they're not going to find the bodies. And those people died immediately. They died quickly. So the best thing, the more comforting thing you can think of is that at least they died quickly. And they didn't suffer. But you're not going to find bodies at that depth, you know, because human beings are not made to go that deep in the ocean. You know, of course, you know, if you're that deep in the ocean, you're going to drown anyway, because, you know, you're not going to make it to the surface in time, you know, 2.5 miles down in the ocean. But, you know, you have some people who would take opportunity to, you know, make fun of this situation and everything. I don't think it's funny. You know, I mean, it's a scary thought to think of what those people went through, going down there, you know. I mean, you're going down in this submarine, and you don't even know this is the last time you're going to see the sun. Because down there where the Titanic is, it's so deep the sunlight can't reach down there. And that was part of. And here's the thing that they said that they knew Sunday when the submarine went down there, when they lost communication, they knew immediately that it had imploded. But they didn't let the public know until Thursday. And when I first heard about it, they said this submarine went missing. First thing came to my head, that sub imploded. That was the first thing I thought of. But why they waited so long to let the public know about what happened down there. They were saying things like, oh, they only have a certain amount of time before the oxygen wears out, runs out, and everything. I was like, nah, them people are gone. They're gone. And sure enough, Thursday, they came up. They said, yeah, the submarine imploded. And I was like, I'm not surprised. I said, I knew it did. Especially when they described the person who owned that sub, you know, and some of the statements he made, and they had warned him, told him, you know, this sub is not fit for going down that deep. And why these people pay $250,000 to go on that sub, and they didn't, you know, check to see this man's credentials or anything, I don't understand. They said one guy was, he was in the sub with his 19-year-old son. Said his 19-year-old son didn't even want to go. But his father coaxed him to go anyway, and now father and son have perished at that depth. And I say that now that's a tragedy of all tragedies right there, you know. But me, And someone said, you got an opportunity to go down here and view the wreckage of the Titanic? Nah. I've heard too many stories, you know. Excuse me. I've heard too many stories about what can happen to you at that depth. And they said that the shape of the submarine, it wasn't built for going at that depth. It was shaped like a tube. It was supposed to be shaped like a sphere. But, you know, it is what it is. And one of the people who died, they said he was a Titanic expert. And I'm like, now, if he was a Titanic expert, he should have known better than to get onto that sub. But they got on anyway, and, you know, now we have this tragedy. And some people were suggesting that the reason why they didn't mention this until Thursday was because of the political climate that's going on, you know, Hunter Biden and his laptop, you know, which, you know, the charges that Hunter Biden, the charges that were brought against Hunter Biden, if any of us had any of them charges that they levied against Hunter Biden, we would have gotten at least 10 years. But Hunter Biden, they just slapped him on the wrist. They're trying to exonerate Joe Biden, and there's evidence that when Hunter Biden was making his deals, his father was sitting right there with him. But, oh, no, nothing to see here. But let one of us had done that. Or let me just put somebody else in there. Let's say Donald Trump had done that. Just think about that. If Donald Trump had done that. Man, they'd be chomping at the bit to put that man in prison. Or any one of us. And see, too many times, see, this is why we have to hold our government accountable. The government is supposed to be accountable to the people, not the other way around. And see, they get away with things that we can't get away with. We all remember Martha Stewart. We remember Wesley Snipes. I'm not sure about, I think Wesley did do some prison time. We know Martha Stewart did. doing the same things that they do in Congress. But if you're a member of Congress, oh, nothing to see here, no harm, no foul. But let one of us do it, or let someone you really don't like do something like that, like a Donald Trump, oh, we won't hear the end of the story. And we knew about Joe Biden's laptop in 2020. They didn't want to bring that up because that was during the election cycle. And the news media didn't want to bring it up until after the election had passed, because they were like, okay, well, you know, if we bring this news up about Hunter Biden's laptop, we're not going to win this election. And that's exactly what they did. Now, you all know how I feel about the election. Yeah, I'm not even going to go through that. You know, some of you all might be like, oh, you still on that and everything? Yes, I'm still on it. You know how I feel about it. But you can cook up phony charges on Donald Trump, which none of them has stuck. The ones that they charge him with now, you know, for the secret documents and all that, I think it was called a presidential, I forgot the name of that, Presidential Document Act or something like that. See, Donald Trump could do that. He could keep any of the documents. He could declassify anything he wanted. But the thing is, nobody else could do that. That privilege was open only to the president. But they say, oh, he got top secret documents. They didn't even specify what documents he had. But let their favorite, let's say a Barack Obama had done that. Oh, no problem. No problem at all. But anyway, seemed like I had a little surge of information there at the end of the show and everything. Next week, I will not be having a show because it's first of the month. And so that means on the 8th, that's the next time I'll be having a show. Want to thank everybody who came on the show, Duck Northwest Media. I'm still not certain who that is. Sarge, Pianki, Iredale, Retta Washington. Thank you all for coming on the show. I appreciate you guys. And I'm going to get ready to close it on out here. I will see you guys, God willing, in 2 weeks. This is Vincent E. Brown. I am signing off. And until the next time, I'll see you on the rebound. Y'all have a good time.